My name is Peter Moore, and I'm editor-in-chief of Nature RX, Better Living Through Cannabis.
Do you have a website?
It is thenaturerx.com. Just one word, thenaturerx.com.
Okay, the, T-H-E-N-A-T-U-R?
N-A-T-U-R-X.com.
We're talking to Peter Moore now, and you have a new endeavor. Many of our listeners will remember you from Men's Health. How did you go from being the editor of Men's Health to cannabis?
Well, it's life's journeys. You never know exactly where they're going to end up. My time at Men's Health ended at the end of 2015. I had a book contract at that time that I wanted to work on. And as I came to the end of that book, my wife and I were saying, well, where in the country do we want to live now? And we'd made many trips to Colorado. So, by a process we went through, we ended up in Fort Collins. And, you know, honestly, I had nothing to do with cannabis aside from one kind of terrible evening in college. And I thought, why would I want to do that again?
Yeah.
But then, you know, we were in Colorado, visit a dispensary. It's sort of a rite of passage when you move to this state. And pretty soon after we arrived, all of my old health editor pals were calling me up and saying, hey, Peter, you live in Colorado now. Would you write about cannabis for us? Because the interest level was that great. And then 2 years later, I'm editing a magazine about it.
What is the magazine like? And if you could also tell me about Colorado, what are the laws like in Colorado?
Well, the magazine, I come out of the tradition of service journalism, you know, obviously having worked for 20 years at Men's Health. And that was what the crying need that we saw was a magazine on the market that can help people sort through the 10 million complications and opportunities and, yes, downsides that there can be with a powerful plant like cannabis. So I think that's speaking to the legalization here in Colorado. I know because I've talked extensively with the guy who was the cannabis czar at the beginning of legalization, that it's a process. And Colorado is as advanced or more advanced than anyone in the world as far as setting up a legal market, making sure that it's well regulated, making sure that people know what they're taking, having the public service campaigns to reinforce that very important message, start low, go slow. And that's the ruling idea of Nature RX is we need to start slow. We need to educate ourselves. We need to make sure that we maximize the benefits of this crazy plant and minimize the downsides.
It sounds like Nature RX, Better Living Through Cannabis, would be one way to do that because you're going to be delving into the many questions surrounding cannabis.
Yeah, there's actually a special section in the first issue that we literally do an RX Q&A, we call it, which is asking 20 questions that are on everybody's minds that they need help with on the issue of cannabis. And then we kind of do an A to Z condition-specific section that talks about the state of the art in the science these days on what effects cannabis can have, how it can be helpful, what aspects of life it's certainly not going to help you with, how to look out for the charlatans. You know, you need to, in the absence of federal legalization now, everybody needs to be their own advocate. And that's what we're trying to do in Nature RX is give people the information they need to look out for themselves, but also to maximize the benefits, because clearly there are a lot of those.
Marijuana or cannabis is very different in 2019 than it was in the 60s and 70s, isn't it?
It kind of depends on who you talk to about that.
Yeah.
I saw there's a very funny tweet cascade that came out about a week ago that showed a history. You know, we're going back 50, 60, 70 years of a succession of so-called drug experts pointing out that marijuana today is a lot stronger than it used to be. But except for that, same message was going on. And if, in fact, all the people who said that through the last 7 decades were true, it would, you know, walking by a dispensary would knock us flat on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
I think it is a powerful plant. Sometimes it's hard to do comparisons between the decades because there's so many different sources of the plant. So again, you know, whether or not it's stronger, we still need to go back to that start low, go slow, and figure out what dose is right for you and produces the effect that you're looking for.
There's confusion about visiting a dispensary. First of all, do you know if all states have dispensaries? And how do you know which one might be right for you? Again, it's a question.
This is the issue. It's a big issue now with legal cannabis, is that some states are far in advance of others as far as setting up the process whereby that plant goes from the grower through processing into a dispensary. Just because it's legal in some states, that doesn't mean you have access to it. And the last time I checked in Washington, D.C., for instance, you have to go through some legal mumbo jumbo of buying a gift box, and then, oh, and there happens to be some marijuana in it. But you didn't buy the marijuana, you bought the gift box. So that's one kind of deranged part of the system. There are other states that have it legalized but don't have a dispensary system. I understand that Maine is just getting its footing there. And then you go to places like Colorado and California, and the dispensary systems are up and running. They're well regulated by the government, and you can trust the products you buy in them. So that's what the way I look at it is the dispensary system and the state regulation that implies. If you get to the point where you have a dispensary, that means that the state that you're in has taken the care to make sure that the products that are coming out there are safe. Mm-hmm. So with the whole explosion of vaping deaths recently, it seems like most of the cases I've read of have to do with people buying it illicitly on the street, which just shows it's a travesty that we haven't worked out the legalization so that it's fair and safe and trackable for everybody.
Is there a difference between medical marijuana and recreational marijuana?
Well, it's blurring now. I would say that from personal experience and from people I've spoken with, many people are now adapting so-called recreational marijuana for their medicinal needs, stress relief, sleep, pain. But medical marijuana is kind of what has led the charge here, because there were so many people clearly who were benefiting from various preparations. I'm talking about kids with epilepsy, soldiers with PTSD, cancer patients with intractable pain, AIDS patients who needed an appetite stimulant. All of these groups were the ones who, I think, really turned people's heads to say, oh, wait, this is a medicinal plant. People have been using it and cultivating it for medicinal reasons for longer than 10,000 years, according to the archaeological records. What benefit can we get from this? And in the whole, like, just say no, Nancy Reagan, marijuana is as bad as crack cocaine, that whole structure just began to crumble when the medicinal uses of marijuana came to the fore. And I think we as a culture should be grateful for that.
Are there scientific studies about pot reducing pain or pot being helpful treating PTSD?
Absolutely, especially in the case of pain. It is a natural analgesic. Again, we could use some more research to help people work with it that way and understand dosing and what's going to be good for them. Mm. We're way behind the eight ball on scientific research, of course, because scientific research was specifically prohibited and banned for almost 100 years because this drug was so, quote unquote, dangerous. But when you think about it, 98% of medicines out there today have botanical bases. And I feel like we're just at the beginning of a great flowering of legitimate and helpful uses of cannabis for, you know, all sorts of conditions. PTSD is another one. Again, we're going to need a lot more studies on this. Yeah. But the fact is that especially members of the Vietnam generation, faced with a terrible problem, began experimenting on their own and encouraging their own, other veterans to try this. And given the awful drug cocktails that so many soldiers have been put on, if we can get something that's going to be relatively benign with few side effects that isn't addictive like cannabis, if we can find ways to modify that to help soldiers with PTSD, we're going to be a long way ahead of where we have been even in the last decade.
Do you think marijuana will be federally legalized?
You know, it's such a complicated thing. I've seen recently Congress has been tiptoeing in the responsible direction of at least making banking rational nationally for cannabis, because there's, clearly we're talking about a multi-billion-dollar market here, and the banking system needs to be able to handle that without, a marijuana dispensary owner walking down the street with a wheelbarrow of cash to put it in the bank. So at least we're tiptoeing that way. federally. I just can't see how we're going to do it anytime soon. It seems like states are always doing the good work these days as opposed to the federal government. So maybe we can be content with that and handle it on the local level. And that can be a good way to ensure oversight. But it's hard to see this thing coming together federally, at least for the next 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been talking to Peter Moore. Thank you so much for joining us today. And let's talk again.
We'll do that. Thank you, Pat.